You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, January 15th, and a tough loss in Utah. And also, let's talk about Dennis Smith Jr. today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter from all over the country for a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. We appreciate you guys doing that. Today we're going to break down Monday's tough loss to the Utah Jazz, another one to a team that's become a real thorn in the side for the Pistons. And now the Pistons won't have to play the Jazz till the NBA Finals. So that's a good sign there for both teams. We're going to talk about Dwayne Casey, a curious late-game decision, a couple of them, in the rotation, and also a post-game quote that got my attention. But we're also going to talk a little bit about Dennis Smith Jr., some reports of the Pistons being linked to the Dallas Mavericks guard and quote-unquote escalating trade possibilities. And I think it's escalating trade possibilities season now with the deadline coming up on February 7th, so we got to talk about that. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook as well at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. We really appreciate you guys, all the interactions and everything like that. Pistons lose on Monday nights in Salt Lake City to the Utah Jazz 100-94. The Pistons are now 18-24, 7-14 on the road for the season, which is not good. And to me, it's always been, I know this is a little bit of a cliche, but if you lose on the road a lot, you're just not a very tough basketball team. It's kind of how I think that breaks down. Now the Pistons are tied for the low water mark of the season yet again at 6 games under .500, down to the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference, below Wednesday's opponent coming to town, the Orlando Magic. Pistons now 1.5 games out of the Eastern Conference playoffs, including 3.5 games out of the sixth seed in that group of five that we always talk about with Miami and Charlotte and Brooklyn and the Orlando Magic and the Pistons. And we'll make it six. Throw in the Washington Wizards, who I believe are just about a game behind, maybe a game and a half behind the Pistons. So throw them in that bunch too, with the rejuvenated lack of John Wall and Brad Beal-centered team. Another team that the Pistons are going to be coming up against very soon as well for a Martin Luther King Day matinee. But this is six straight losses to the Utah Jazz for the Pistons, this one and the last two being in somewhat devastating fashion for Pistons fans. 19 for Blake Griffin, leading scorer for the Pistons, but a little bit of a mirage with that. He had 7 points late, including the four-point play. Oh, that's a big shot, so you got to give him some credit for that. And also another late three to kind of give him a little bit of hope when it appeared almost all but lost. Those are big shots, but you know, he had 12 going into the last minute or so. So, and he was 1-for-9 from three until those two late shots go to finish 3-for-11. So not good for him from three-point land. Not a good Blake Griffin game at all in general. 15 points and 13 rebounds for Andre Drummond. He had a solid first half. Made some of those post moves that we always cringe when he takes, but disappeared late in the game. Tried to make some things happen offensively and just didn't work out, as it's not a guy you want to go to late in games for big baskets. Turns out, I know we're just figuring that out if we're point guard of the team in the last few minutes, but 13 for Reggie Bullock, 2-of-4 from three. Good to get that percentage to keep climbing up as the trade deadline approaches. 10 off the bench for Luke Kennard and 11 points for Reggie Jackson in 29 minutes of work. Ish Smith was the big story leading up to this game. Pistons fans excited to have him back after missing 18 games with the groin injury. 9 points in 19 minutes for him. He was very, very good in the first part of the game in the second quarter, and then very, very bad in the fourth quarter. But he, you know, in that second quarter with his bench group that he's played well with earlier this year, he made everyone else better. They stemmed off what would have been, you know, that was been their worst quarter for the last this horrible stretch of games that they've had. But Ish Smith kind of balanced everything out, was a weapon himself, found guys, made guys hit some shots, found Andre Drummond very early on in his return to the court, drove and found him for a dunk on a nice pass, made a three early on in his stint in the second quarter as well. Pistons were 11 of 36 from three-point land and 30.6% from three. So not a very good effort in that regard. Donovan Mitchell had 28 points. This was the sixth straight game for him of 25 or more. Handled the ball quite a bit, made some shots. Just another dominant effort from a guy who Pistons fans will rue the day for a long, long time that Luke Kennard's on this team instead of Donovan Mitchell. 18 points and 25 rebounds for Rudy Gobert, who kind of took Andre Drummond's place as the rebounder-in-chief in this one and really made him look small throughout most of the game. 19 points for Kyle Korver off the bench, 5 of 11 for 3, one of the better shooters of all time. A couple of big shots off some scrambles that he ended up hitting, and one of them in the end of the third quarter that stood out to me as a tough call because Joe Ingles hadn't reestablished both of his feet in bounds before he grabbed a ball with a scramble play and an offensive rebound and threw it back out to Kyle Korver. Should have been out of bounds there, and the refs that missed that one. But speaking of the refs, a big difference in this one, and there's a lot of Twitter chatter from you guys about this, and I'm going to give you the usual line that you don't want to hear, especially after you feel like your team got jobbed on the road, but 36 free throws attempted by Utah and 16 for Detroit. So 20 different right there. Dwayne Casey talked about it the postgame, said he wanted to go back and check out the film, but that disparity jumps out to him as it should, as it would to anyone watching the game. Yes, I did think the refs struggled some in this one, but also like Tim McCormick said, the Pistons aren't a team that's driving very much. And I'll add, when they do, they aren't finishing all the way to the rim. Those floaters like Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith pull up and Andre's fling floater thing that he does all the time, maybe one of the worst shots in the NBA. Well, there's upside in going in and getting the big men in foul trouble and going after guys and being strong and finishing those drives, in addition to those floaters being low percentage for Ish Smith and Andre Drummond. Now, I'll give credit to Reggie Jackson. He actually hits those floaters, so I'm not going to complain too much about that. But, man, just not good there for the referees in general. But like I said, this is not something that I'm going to talk about a lot. It's not, you know, I just don't believe as a sports fan, you're just going to drive yourself crazy if you always think that your team is victimized by officials. And throughout the course of an 82-game season, those things are going to even out. I think that we've had wins for the Detroit Pistons this year that other teams are going to be talking about the refs. And again, you got to overcome those things. That's part of winning on the road. That's part of being a tough basketball team. And as far as fouls, the difference was 27 for Detroit and 18 for Utah. Sure, that's a big difference. That's 9 fouls, but we've seen bigger foul discrepancies in basketball than that. You know, and it's not. This is a situation where the Pistons had a big lead at half, big lead late in the second quarter that got whittled down a little bit before the half, and then kind of a collapse in the third quarter and couldn't get enough offense going in the fourth. And we're going to talk about that and some things the Pistons can control in a little bit. But the Pistons return home for a 3-game homestand. That's going to be starting Wednesday with the Orlando Magic, Friday for the Miami Heat, and Saturday against the Kings before Monday afternoon's game against the Washington Wizards. And again, I'll pull Washington back into a red-letter game. So 3 of these next 4 games against teams that the Pistons need to get wins against, and then you can throw a 4th one in there because anytime you got Sacramento coming in at home, you got to take care of business there. If you're a team that has any business in becoming a playoff team or has any business in making their fans think that they'll be a factor in the playoffs, or any team that wants to convince their front office and ownership that they should be anything other than people selling off parts at the trade deadline, which is where I'm at with this team. I think that the roster overhaul needs to begin in a major way. I think it's been a slog watching this team play basketball this year, and Monday was no different. And making it even more frustrating is the fact that you're getting a very good version of Blake Griffin this year. And like I said, I mean, you're kind of wasting it with some of the players and some of the mismatched skills and one-dimensional players that this team has. It's frustrating, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. In addition to Dwayne Casey's night on the sideline up next, but the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net. Eat all the hosts on one feed. This is a great thing during game day. And on Instagram, follow Locked On NBA Net. Biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram stories at the top, and longer cuts on the biggest stories in the feeds there in your regular feed. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we will talk about the Dennis Smith Jr. trade rumors. The Dallas Mavericks news broke that the trade possibility is intensifying. as of Monday night. And by the way, during the game, Donovan Mitchell found himself another Detroit heckler from the Associated Press article. He was asked what was his motivation, and he said, "That loud kid on the sideline, it was really his fault," Mitchell said after scoring 28 points to propel the Jazz to a 100-94 victory over the Detroit Pistons. That was the AP story that I'm quoting. He went on to be quoted, "I don't know why people like that have to keep talking. I just had to shut them down." I don't know if I don't know anymore. The article didn't go into detail about it, but if it was a Detroit fan on the road. But he said the same thing after the game at Little Caesars Arena. So maybe we should stop heckling Donovan Mitchell, as we're the ones who probably should be getting heckled by him for being the team that didn't draft him last year. So let's not be part of the problem, fellow Pistons fans, as we try to get this team out of the toilet because of decisions like not drafting Donovan Mitchell. But anyway, I want to talk about Dwayne Casey and some of the reasons that the Pistons lost this one. Also, what I thought was an interesting quote from him after the game: "My first complaint is the rotation's late. And after too much of Jose Calderon lately, Pistons fans were happy to get none of him Monday. But that did mean that Ish Smith was thrown into the fire after missing the last 18 games. I thought he managed it well, played well. Dwayne Casey managed it well, and that Ish Smith played well in the first half. He played 634 total at the end of the first quarter and also into the second quarter, and the Pistons were plus eight in that time, and he was just managing it. Again, plus eight and minus eight, and individual game plus minus, we know, is not something that's very reliable or really sometimes or oftentimes not very indicative of how a guy played in his time on the court. Although, you know, you look at it throughout the course of a final season, it might have more to do with the types of players he's playing with or whatever else. But you know, it was in this case, it was accurate. Ish Smith was playing very well the second unit, and some of the starters in the end of the first quarter were playing very well together. He had good energy and a good bounce in his step as well. Drove right by Grayson Allen in one of the first plays he had offensively. And then he came in the third quarter and played basically the last half of the third quarter, came in with 6:22 left in the quarter. Pistons were down one. And he played a little bit worse in this one. Was a minus one just for that 6:22 span. And like I said, it was pretty obvious that he was losing steam into the third quarter. So what'd they do then? They brought him in for crunch time with 5:47 to go, with Pistons down four. He entered the game alongside Andre Drummond, Reggie Bullock, and Kyrie Thomas to play alongside Blake Griffin. In that time, Ish missed all three of his field goals, including an air ball floater, another floater that missed two, a jump shot. He was 1-for-2 on free throws. But, you know, stats aside, the possessions, it's completely slowed down at that point in the game. We know that Detroit and Utah are going to grind it out in the half court when it gets down to every possession matters. So you couldn't use his transition skills at that point. He was guarding Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles, which is not ideal, but it's fine. You had a team that was without its point guards. But he's out of the rhythm with starters, especially in a half-court game where, you know, split-second decisions and, Andre decided it was his time late. Ish was getting him the ball in positions that, you know, Blake Griffin needs to touch the ball. Blake Griffin needs the ball in those situations. Ish Smith wasn't doing his job. He did his thing where he dribbled around kind of aimlessly. And I know if he's playing well, it's kind of an endearing thing to watch when he drives to the basket and then dribbles all the way back outside. And again, if he's playing well, it's kind of fun to watch that. And if he's not playing well, it's kind of like, what are you doing? You're just eating up the shot clock. And I thought that was the case in the fourth quarter there when he struggled. And I just thought after 18 games that you don't put Ish Smith in these pressure situations. I think that was a time either for Reggie Jackson and set up the rotation so Reggie is in at the end. Or call me crazy, but since you're playing a team that doesn't have a point guard, their top three point guards with injuries, maybe this is a perfect time to experiment. And I don't know if Bruce Brown is ready for this. I don't know if Luke Kennard is ready for this, and that's a whole other topic we'll talk about here in a second. But there's got to be someone on this team other than the three main point guards who is being groomed to be ready for these situations. We saw Bruce Brown play point guard, I think, for like one or two possessions in one of the games out west, and then that was thwarted very quickly for more Jose Calderon time. But I mean, point guard is the worst position for the Pistons. And I know going into the season, we were concerned about the wings, concerned about the depth. But with Reggie Jackson, Ish Smith, who missed all those games, and Jose Calderon. That's the worst position on this team, and they haven't come up with any reasonable solutions, any workarounds for this problem that has persisted throughout the season. And at some point, that falls on Dwayne Casey to not be trying things, to not be going with other options. Now, as far as Khyri Thomas getting crunch time minutes, a guy that obviously has not played a lot this season, I thought he had a great defensive game. I'm looking forward myself to more Khyri Thomas time, even in the clutch, especially in future seasons. He had no points on Monday. He did not attempt a shot in his 10 minutes. He passed up a shot on a nice drive, and he passed up what should have been a finished drive by him by passing it to Andre Drummond. Stuck Dre with a 24-second violation, making a pass to him too late in the shot clock. So poor awareness there from the rookie. But Dwayne Casey said after the game he needed someone in there that could try to stop Donovan Mitchell. But honestly, I don't have a problem with it. It should be a prerequisite on this team that the Pistons, if you're going to get drafted, if you're going to be brought in as a free agent, you got to be able to play defense. It's the identity of this team. It's what us fans want to see. And by the way, as an aside with that, I think it's interesting that Luke Kennard keeps getting jerked around minutes-wise. He didn't get in late in this game. He played well offensively, and while the offense was struggling as a team very late, there could have been a spot for him. You could have hit him defensively on a Joe Ingles or Royce O'Neal or something like that. Joe Ingles is a good offensive player, but not someone that's going to be exploiting the lack of foot speed and other defensive problems that Luke Kennard may have. Royce O'Neal is just not an offensive player out there. So, again, a perfect guy to hide someone on. But bigger picture, I kind of want to go to something Dwayne Casey said after the game, and I tweeted this. He said, talking about Bruce Brown and Khyri Thomas, who he was asked about by some of the guys in the media, he called those guys a, quote, ray of light for this team, the Pistons, this year. Now, Dwayne Casey has some great old-timey axioms, but when he says ray of light, and I don't want to hold Coach to every meaning of every old-time phrase he uses, because just like the rest of us, you know, sometimes use a phrase and don't quite mean exactly what the phrase is supposed to mean. But I think, you know, I think when he says a ray of light, the way I interpret that is that we're in this really bad situation, and these guys are giving us hope that we'll be out of this situation someday. Now, again, that could be a slip of the tongue, or maybe he doesn't mean that. But it also could be maybe his true feelings deep down about what this roster is, what this team is. Right now, he went on to say, quote, talking about Bruce Brown and Khyri Thomas, they kind of set the tone as far as how you have to play in this league, end quote. Well, I mean, what a crazy statement to say about rookies. We've heard them say, and this is a compliment to them. He's lauding them, saying good things about these guys. But I kind of read that as a bit of a slight to the rest of his roster, guys who have been in the league longer, who are not, in apparently in Casey's mind, playing the way that you have to play in this league. And I think he's kind of making an example out of some of those guys, especially with playing Khyri Thomas late, starting Bruce Brown. I think that it's an indication that Dwayne Casey wants to make some real changes. And it's probably, I would say, consistent with the rest of the way that the front office is talking, especially with the trade deadline coming, with future seasons coming up and all that. I think it's an indication that that's the type of players that he's looking for with Brown and Khyri. Toughness, defense is a prerequisite for getting on the court. It's an indication to me that maybe they're not even considering being buyers at the deadline, that they know that this reshaping of the roster is a process and a project that will take a long time. Furthermore, and follow me here as I kind of read the tea leaves a little bit. I would not be surprised, would not be floored if they trade, and I didn't really put this together as kind of a realistic thought in my mind until today. Maybe they trade Luke Kennard, maybe this trade deadline, maybe this summer. If you can't play him late in games when you need that offense at a half court, and again, he still can be a very attractive trade piece, probably the Pistons' best, definitely the Pistons' best young asset. But, you know, in a lot of ways, the Pistons' best asset, especially if you are repulsed by the contract of Blake Griffin. And I've talked about Reggie Bullock as a possible trade piece, and I still would like the Pistons to deal Reggie Bullock, despite the fact that it makes your team worse this year, no doubt about that. But what if you package those two? What if you say Luke Kennard and Reggie Bullock, package those guys, want to think a little big, you know? You want to think about getting into the top of the draft or the middle of the first round or something like that. And I know you're trading all your shooting when you do that, and I don't want them to trade Luke Kennard, but I just wonder if there's a larger issue with Luke Kennard and how he fits with this roster and this coach and this culture that they're trying to build with the Detroit Pistons. I would not be surprised, I would not be completely shocked to see the team cash in on the asset value that the that you have there, and Luke Kennard is a second-year player, and find somewhere else in the NBA for him. That's all I'm saying. You've heard it here on the Locked On Pistons podcast first. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners, 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, we're going to talk about the Dennis Smith trade rumors. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Hey, did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? Well, here's how you get the Locked On Pistons podcast to play on Amazon Alexa or Google Play. Just say, play podcast Locked On Pistons. Don't forget to throw podcast in there. Play podcast Locked On Pistons. We'll play the newest episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the Dennis Smith Jr. trade rumors are heating up. The Dallas Mavericks second-year point guard, who's kind of been unseated in the echelon of the young point guards in the Dallas Mavericks, obviously, so far this year. ESPN.com's Adrian Wojnarowski reported on Monday night that the Dallas second-year player has escalating discussions, according to Woj, about him. He wants to move on. The team wants to move on from him. It seems like, of course, all of this is brought up by rookie Luka Doncic, the frontrunner for Rookie of the Year and also a possible Western Conference All-Star this year, who I am excited to see play. He's going to roast the Pistons here twice in the next few weeks. Should be a good one there. But Mitch Lawrence, a Sirius XM radio host who has written for the Sporting News as well, he has had Pistons scoops before, including his reporting last March that Stan Van Gundy's job was in jeopardy. Obviously, that came true. He reported that the Pistons have checked in on the Dallas Mavericks trade talks. We also know the Pistons have checked in on Markelle Fultz and all that good stuff as well. So the Pistons doing their due diligence as an organization and seem like a team that's ready, anxious, and willing to make some moves on the trade front. And honestly, I think something's going to happen. I have been a proponent of dealing Reggie Bullock and possibly Ish Smith. The Ish Smith part comes with a caveat that he's valuable enough to this year's team where the price has to be enough to be willing to part with him. And obviously, that price has to be enough for Reggie Bullock too. But you would think that it's going to be at least pretty good for Reggie Bullock, and at some point you need to cash in on that asset, as that $2.5 million of expiring contract is not going to be enough for the Pistons to hold on to him and try to salvage whatever is left of this season. Now, Dallas, it sounds like they're trying to attach Wes Matthews, an expiring $18.6 million deal, and that would seem to indicate that maybe they're looking for a bigger deal if you're trying to match up salaries of Dennis Smith, who's on a rookie deal. But adding that with an expiring $18.6 million deal, of course, there's nothing wrong with getting Wes Matthews on the team in that, not, you know, he's a usable player, but also just that expiring deal would all, you know, it'd be a good thing, especially if the Pistons are going to be parting with like a Reggie Jackson or an Andre Drummond or something like that, someone who I feel, in my opinion, is a negative asset than getting an expiring guy, even though Wes Matthews has had the Achilles injury and other assorted injuries over the past couple of years. I would believe that Wes Matthews is more valuable just because he's gone this summer, or maybe you could bring him back at a lower number or something like that. But Dennis Smith, the focal point of all these reports, he has improved his defense and three-point shooting in year two, now shooting at 37.5%, but he's only played 28 games this year, some assorted injury issues. Scoring is down from last year. It was over 15. Now he's at 12.5. Assists are down from 5 to 4, naturally, with the ball being in his hands less with Luka Doncic now on board. The minutes are down for him, for Dennis Smith, 2 minutes a game, even when he does play in those 28 games. And a lot of those minutes are going to veteran J.J. Barea, which isn't a good sign for your young point guard. Just clashing with Rick Carlisle, who we know is a micromanager and maybe not great with the young players sometimes. Just all, you know, some tough things. It's a bad spot for Dallas. Not a great time for them to be dealing him with the kind of a checkered year he's had. And also really a not great fit for the Pistons, who, you know, alongside Griffin, you kind of want a spot-up shooter. You'd want someone who's a little bit better defensively, particularly if the organization is going in that direction, as I hope they do. He's not a defensive star by any means. Now, he's just 21, just turned 21 very recently, but he's a low-efficiency scorer. He turns the ball over a lot. I'm not super into it. He's not the type of player that you want to build your franchise around. And I do think the Pistons, however, They're in build mode, which means if you think the return you get in a trade is better than what you're giving up, then you should really give consideration to doing it, even if the guys aren't great fits. This is a long-term project with this roster. I hate to break it to you guys. I think this winter's been the greatest indication of that than we could have possibly asked for and wondered about. I mean, we've got health for this team was fine. I mean, we could talk about Ish Smith till we're blue in the face and guys like Stanley Johnson being out a little while and Zaza Pachulia. But, you know, really no major injuries. You've had the big three healthy throughout the entire season. Better than you could have asked for if you're being realistic about the injury situation coming into the season. But with young second-year guys like Dennis Smith, you need to be thinking about them as part of the long-term strategy too. And me, I know we talked about Luke Kennard. I'd rather have Luke than Dennis Smith Jr., even though there are obvious issues with Luke's game too, including the inconsistency from his first two seasons. But Luke's scoring totals throughout his career have been a lot less than Dennis Smith. Obviously, he has a lot less great highlights than Dennis Smith on Twitter. But as far as an asset in my eyes, and maybe there's a little bit of homerism there, but I think there's Dennis Smiths all over the league, except on the Pistons, of course. But I think that there's Luke Kennard's got a chance to become a very good shooter in the NBA. If the way I look at it, I see if we're going straight up Luke Kennard for Dennis Smith, you're going to have to throw in something to sweeten that up for me. But just something to think about there as I came to the thought today that maybe Luke Kennard could be someone that could get moved by the Pistons front office sometime soon. Phoenix and Orlando are the teams that are active most in trade talks. A lot of good young assets on those teams, especially in the front court for Orlando. On the wing with Phoenix, with like Mikal Bridges and Josh Jackson and those guys. And both those teams obviously need point guards, as I think Phoenix sees the Devin Booker future as more of off the ball than on the ball, although he's been capable at on the ball as well. And we know that Orlando has DJ Augustine. But if you're a Pistons, so they obviously want an upgrade there with all that talent on the front court and also expendable pieces with Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba and Aaron Gordon and Vucevic too. I mean, that's a lot of guys and not a lot of minutes and not a lot of opportunity to make plays with your crowded front court like that. But if you're a Pistons fan, you want a deal to happen today with Orlando, and that way, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., whoever they trade, isn't ready for Wednesday's game. So you get kind of best of both worlds. But if you have any thoughts on this, give us a call on the voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Again, 810-666-1546. So just give me your thoughts on Dennis Smith. What trade packages do you want thrown in there? Of course, bigger deals involving Harrison Barnes and DeAndre Jordan are thrown around and all that kind of stuff. So just let me know what you think. So give us a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. This has been your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening, and we'll be back talking Orlando Magic on Wednesday's show and, of course, keeping the trade rumor mill alive here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for joining us.